church. It's good to be with you this morning. And one of the greatest hopes that we have, the greatest hope that the gospel of Jesus gives us, it's a hope founded in reality. It's not a wishy-washy hope. It's not a hope I win $1 million sort of hope. This is a hope founded in the eternal living God. It's a hope that we can actually access. It's a hope delivered to us by our Creator, a hope delivered to us by the sustainer of the world, the sustainer of the universe. It's a hope given by the all-powerful, all-knowing God, who's the Father of all creation. And in this hope sits a great reward. It's a reward that we are able to experience in a little bit here on earth. But it's a reward that once we get into heaven, once we reach the new heaven and the new earth, that we get to experience in the fullness, in the vastness of what the scriptures tell us. It's where we pass from this earth and we move into what's referred to as our glorified state. We move to this state for all eternity. It's here where we realize, it's here where we completely realize the full effect of our decision to receive God. A decision to receive Jesus' work. Decision to receive his justifying work upon the cross. It's here where we receive the fullness of God, where we realize exactly the decision and the great decision that we made. It's here we receive the rewards in full of our union with Christ. It's in the glorified state where the process of salvation is finished. Today we are finishing our 6-week series on various components of salvation. We've been looking at these components in a way in which systematic theologians look at these sort of areas in a way in which it's logical in its form. We're looking at salvation in these ways. And today we finish looking at the kind of final component of this, which is the completion of salvation, really, and its glorification. A glorification is the act in which God completes his redemptive work of transforming us into the image of God. It's where we achieve the transformation that started when we were saved, and we become like God. The passage that we'll look at today is Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 to 20, where it talks about this glorified sort of state. But before we get there, I want to recap of where we've been. Now, the first week we looked at predestination. We looked at the way in which God predestined us, the way in which God predestined us for salvation. He worked all things in order to predestine us, and we had the opportunity to choose. We look at the tension in this sort of space, and we have the bungee cord, the way in which the tension of the Bible talks about those who are predestined, those who are chosen, the way in which God's sovereign work works in this space, but the way in which we also have a chance to respond to his sovereign. We look at various theological stances of that, and the way in which we hold the tension of the scriptures within this space. We look at the way in which God predestined us for salvation. Yet, not all will respond. In the second week, we look at grace and the way in which God works, the way in which we look at us as humans, that we are sinful. The world is sinful. And that we try so hard to be good. We actually try to receive and achieve the salvation that God provides. The way in which we actually cannot do it in our own strength. The way in which God works in this world by his grace so that we can actually realize, to start off with, that we need him. Realize that we need salvation. And there's no ladder that we can climb. There's no mountain that we can make, there's no tower that we can create can get us to anywhere near the salvation that's required. There's actually nothing that we can do to actually save ourselves. I think that it's only God's work of grace that actually helps us realize the moment that we can't do it on our own. This is sin. We bring about so much baggage into this. And we try so hard to justify ourselves. God's made us realize that we are sinful and that we need Him. And so we do so many things in this world in order to actually be saved. And even after we've made a decision to be saved, we try and justify our sin, the way in which we bring on a whole bunch of baggage. Realize that we cannot be justified apart from God. The justification is not about doing any work. It's not about anything that you can bring to this space. It's not about what you do. It's about the decision that you make to receive God's justified. Jesus is justified. It doesn't matter what baggage you have. It doesn't matter whatever it is. It's by receiving Christ and His atoning work that we are justified. Not by anything we can do, not by anything we can achieve. It's God's justifying work. Jesus is justifying work. And this justifying work is accessible to all. Accessible to everyone. Doesn't matter what status, doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter what experience or level of sin that you've been into, God's justifying work is acceptable and is achievable by all. And then from there, we moved on to the shift to talk about sanctification. That when we receive the justifying work of Jesus, we've got all this baggage, we've got all this extra weight and this extra clothing that we have on our lives, all this sin, all these bad habits that we have. And so when we receive the justifying work, there's a transformation process that happens in that. But we don't become exactly like Jesus in that moment. It takes a lifetime. It takes more than a lifetime. And what we talked about in the way that sanctifying work is us working with God and deciding to throw off things, throw off sin, throw off bad habits in our world, actually remove these things from our life to free ourselves, become more like the image of Jesus, more like the image of Christ. God's sanctifying work. That's one of the reasons why we come to church and we gather with His people, we listen to His word, the reason why we do all these disciplined things as a Christian. Read the scriptures. It's because by us working with God, we are sanctifying ourselves. God is sanctifying us. It's not just us, but it's not just God, it's a partnership working together. And we do this partnership because we are united with Christ in His justification. You see, Jesus united us with Him. Union with Christ. Mark spoke about last week the way in which, when you put droplets into water, that we're united with Christ in His cup. And He threw Himself in there, and He threw me in there as well. And anyone who is justified by Jesus is thrown in with Jesus. That we are united with Him. We are no longer separate. We are united with Him as we're united with Christ. Also with each other as the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, being united with them in this union. And it's this union that makes it possible for us to throw off these things. It's a sanctifying work to work over that. It's this union with Christ, the way in which we can listen to God, hear with God, the Holy Spirit works within our lives. There's so much that comes from this union with Christ. And it's this union of Christ, the fact that we've received His justification, that on the final judgment, that when God looks at our life, He doesn't see us anymore and our sin and our brokenness. But it's because of this union with Christ that God sees Jesus. God sees every single life of Jesus. And it's because of this is that we are able to enter into a glorified state. And the sin is fully removed from our lives. And we enter, of course, in our union with Christ into glory, into the new heaven and the new earth, into this glorified state. And it's there where the work of Christ in our lives is. We get to enjoy life with Him for all eternity. And it's this that we're talking about today. Let me draw you to Philippians 3, verses 15. Paul writes, "All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if you, on some point, you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stone, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from them, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." Throughout Scripture, that when we look at glorification, we get hints and we get ideas in which this glorified state will look like. The book of Revelation draws upon some of this imagery in a way that's difficult to describe. And there's various other passages, like in Corinthians, we'll look at later, the way in which Christ demonstrates what the resurrected body will look like. But the fact is, we get glimpses of what it is. There's not a laid out picture of this is exactly what our experience will be like in heaven. But we get glimpses, we get to see the confidence that we have in heaven. And Paul, in this passage beforehand, he's speaking about the idea how earthly gains, that what we gain on this earth is nothing in comparison to what we gain in heaven. And so he's drawing the listeners, drawing you today to look beyond the earth in which we are, to look towards heaven. He says, with faith in Christ, with union with Christ, the way in which we are in Him, we are called to press on towards sanctification. We are called to look heavenward. This is what it is to be mature. He says, all of us then who are mature. The mature believers, as he's speaking about before, are those who look beyond the earth here, who look towards heaven. Those who are united with Christ, those who are pressing on to become more like Christ. This is maturity. This is what it is to seek and to think and to view things in a mature way as a believer. And this maturity is revealed by God. Some of the listeners here, some of the hearers who heard this in the church of Philippi, understood this, were mature believers. Some of them were not. And Paul makes it clear in here that that God will reveal it to you, that God will make you more mature, that God will reveal to you how you are to look heavenward, how you are to look into the heavens and to think beyond this earthly space. what we've already obtained in the cross of Christ, in our justification. We've already obtained it. So let's live up to the decision that we have made to receive it. This is what Paul is calling us to do. We've got to hold on to the progress that we've already made. The progress we have in sanctification. Don't go back. Continue to press forward. Continue to look towards God's standard. Knowing that in the sanctification process that we will never achieve it on earth. But we're still called to press on. Still called to push forward and to hold true to what we have already obtained. Yes. We're called to join in the fall. One of the great things about the New Testament is we get to experience the life of Paul, the way in which he teaches various churches, the way in which he instructs us. And as we read most of the books of the New Testament, and most of them written by Paul, we experience his life and his teaching. And so when he writes here, join me in imitating me, we can imitate Paul, because we know that Paul imitates Christ. And Paul imitates Christ. And so therefore, by imitating Paul, we're imitating Christ. And so we'll look at leaders that we have in this world who live after Christ's example. And so we are to imitate Paul, who imitates Christ. But also amongst our church, we are to imitate those who imitate Paul, who imitate Christ. Does that make sense? Follow after those in this world. It's difficult sometimes to put these scriptures and the application of the Bible in the world in which we live today. And we have the benefit of the church here, that you look at people in the church who are still struggling and still wrestling with sin because they're not fully sanctified. But these people in our church, they look heavenward. They are mature in Christ. And so we are to look towards these people because they can show us what it means to live and to follow Christ within this world. What it is to look heavenward. Because none of us here have reached glory yet. I'm not sure. Everybody's here still. Nobody's reached glory yet. Nobody during the service, please go to glory. Stay alive. That would be a great reward. So we have a look towards heaven. Because we know that there are some here that will not do that. Each of us know family and friends who are not following. Live towards Christ's example and demonstrate to those around us. But there are some, like there were some around Paul, who were not imitating Christ. And it breaks his heart. And it breaks our heart. You see, those who do not live, those who do not live following Christ, are enemies to the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their destiny is in hell. Their God is not the God, is the creator of heaven and earth, who has eternal hope sitting within him. Their God is the God of their stomach, which greed is their own earthly desires, their own bodily desires. If your God is not the heaven, the God of heaven and earth, it is another God. You're following after somebody else's example. Their glory, unlike us as believers, their glory is in shame, not in God. Their mind is on earthly things. Their destiny is destruction. But our citizenship, as a follower of Jesus, our citizenship, our hope, it lies. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to redeem us, came down to live a life worthy, sinless, perfect life, so that we could be redeemed. followed after God's own example to the letter and made an atonement for our sins. Everything under his control. Everything is subject to Jesus, who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he will transform us to be like. He already is working in that sanctifying work in us to make us like him, but in the glorified state, because that is where we are going in heaven. Because we are citizens of heaven. He will take our weak mortal bodies and he will change them. He will transform them into a glorious body. He will take what we have now, all our failings, all our weaknesses, all our brokenness, injuries, everything, and make them into a glorious body. You see, verse 20 it says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his. That is where our hope sits. That is where the truth of the gospel sits. That is where we are headed. Because we are citizens. There's always a question when you talk about the glorified state of going, what is it going to be like? Teenagers always ask this question, what is it going to be like in heaven? And the scriptures give us glimpses of kind of what it's going to be like. It would probably take us hours to unpack some of those scriptural hints. But looking at it from a systematic point of view, the scriptures talk about our resurrected body, that we will be like Jesus. And it comes from when Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Verse 42 it says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, and what is raised is imperishable. Verse 43 says, it is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. Verse 44, it says, it is sown a natural body and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. I don't have it on the screen, but if you want to turn, that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 to 44. And this passage of Scripture is a confusing passage. When you look at the various forms of what our body is going to look like, it is very difficult in our human mindset, in our earthly ways, to actually describe in full what is going to happen in the glorified state, what our body is going to look like in this space. But we see that our bodies will be like Jesus in three ways. We'll have some sort of physical state. In the new heaven and the new earth, there will be a physical state in which we have. That physical state is not the same physical state we have here. Because it says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. So our body which is sown, now when we pass away, is perishable. It is a mortal body. But what is raised is imperishable. It's a physical type body. See, it is sown a natural body. It is a natural body that is raised to life. But it's also has a spiritual time state. Physical will also be spiritual. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And so we'll have a spiritual-like state. In fact, in this world, we have a spiritual-like state. It's part of who we are. But what we don't have in this world is a glorious time state. It was sown in dishonor, the dishonor of sin, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and he was raised. So we like Jesus, we will have a physical body. When Jesus came back and was raised to life, the disciples met with him. Jesus ate. Jesus met with them. They touched him. Jesus had a physical body when he was raised to life. And so we can experience in this glorified state that we will likely have a physical body. It's what the scriptures taught. But we'll also be spiritual in nature. And also have a glorified state. Now, I'm not saying that we'll be flying on clouds, that we'll have wings, that we'll be floating around. The new heaven and the new earth will have similarities. Just because we get a glimpse and we get an idea doesn't mean that we forget about these things. Doesn't mean that we don't think about these things. Paul instructs us here in Philippians to look heavenward. We are to hold firm to these things that we have and that we know. Hold firm to the salvation that we have received. Continue to become like Christ. Maybe someday you will be like Christ in the fullness. So we are to hold firm in all that we do in Christ. We are to expect with full confidence that you will enter heaven in a glorified state. Because you are citizens. This is what it means to be in Christ. This is the decision for those who are made to receive Christ, that you are citizens. You will enter this glorified state. Show us those.